All right, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week last week. I'm glad that we did not have to boat in here today. That was a lot of rain yesterday, but just a 100 or two so north of here, we'd have been shoveling our way here. So busy day yesterday, but it is good to see you all here this morning. Glad for those that are able to join us online as well. I just have a few announcements to go before we get started. Here on the last day of January, it's already time to flip the calendar here for February. I just remember Emmett, he's going to be having a procedure coming up this week. So they are all home quarantining themselves, just playing it safe because of his upcoming surgery. So let's keep Emmett in our prayers as that's going to be coming up this week. And it is good to see the Hensons back. I think we all got that message that Brother Kevin's brother did pass away this past week. All the services and stuff were this past week, and they drove on back home yesterday, so it's good to see them here today. But our condolences to the Hensons family, and continue to keep them in our prayers through this time. And we have a lot of people that are out today just playing it safe. I think it's just a lot of the COVID business going around, and just concerns because I think we're all at some point or another around somebody that has or had it or something like that. So we've got several that are just, what's the phrase, over an abundance of caution, just minding themselves and just being safe for everybody else. So all those that are doing that, we'll just having our thoughts and prayers. Just trying to get through this time right now. That's all I've got here this morning. Again, it is good to see you all here this morning. If you would, before we get started, if you would, we'll bow and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you blessed us with, and we're thankful for the time that we can be here this morning to be able to sing songs of praise to your name and to be able to study from your word, dear Lord. We're thankful for this time that we can all be here, whether in person here at this building or online as well, so that we can all lift our thoughts, lift our voices and praise to you, to be able to study from your word, dear Lord, and we're thankful that we can do that, and we're thankful for this day that you blessed us with. As we are mindful of all of our loved ones that are struggling at this time, whether it be for physical health or for spiritual health, just please be with all of us and give us strength and encouragement. Continue to get through this time, dear Lord, and we're looking forward to things getting better for everybody. And we're hoping soon that we can all be together and just get back to some normalcy, dear Lord. But again, just as we continue to get through these tough times, please give us all encouragement and strength to get through one day at a time, dear Lord, because that's what we can do. But we know each day is a blessing from you. And help us to always continue to come to you in prayer and keep our thoughts focused on you, because we know that you care for us, because you are our Father, and you love us, and we love you. We are mindful of Emmett and his upcoming surgery. Please help that surgery to go well, and please be with his family and help all of them to be healthy and all stay safe and everything to go well this week for that surgery. We're also mindful of the Hensons family, with Brother Kevin's loss of his brother. Please be with him and his family as they continue to mourn the loss of his brother, and give them strength and encouragement at this time as well, dear Lord. We're thankful for the safe trip that they had here this past week. Again, please be with us on our service this morning. Help us to lift up our voices and lift up our thoughts to you, dear Lord. And help us to focus on all the things that are said and done here this morning, and help them be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd just like to echo Tim's sentiments. It's great to be here this morning amongst you here, and especially those who are joining us live over via social media. I've chosen song number 452, He Keeps Me Singing. I think it's the perfect song. Love the melody of this song. We'll sing all three verses. Make sure my height's not getting in the way here. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Heals my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweet. Singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I'm showing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Next song, before we're presented with the lesson this morning, Hilltops of Glory, another one of my personal favorites, Hilltops of Glory, and once again, we'll sing all three verses.
Onward, rejoicing, I tread life's way, higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land, way down in Egypt, mid burning sand, Moses had started for Canaan's land. Never turn backward, always ascend, on to the journey.
See.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
Footsteps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, His warnings heed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail.
Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Go with me, safe on the
Good morning. Kind of scattered out today, but we're glad that all of you are here. And those who are joining by electronic means, we're glad that you're with us as well. Today we're studying on or concentrating on the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. If you want to open your Bible to that chapter, we'll be dealing with that a little bit later on. I'm going to do some other reading first before we get started with that and go back and kind of introduce our lesson today in a way. We have talked about the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. We talked about how that the first three chapters of this letter is dealing with God's blessings to man, that all spiritual blessings come from God, but that these are not unconditional. They're conditions that we must meet, that we must be in Christ Jesus in order to receive these blessings. And then we talked about the love that God had for mankind, that while man was dead in sin, that God made it possible to where he could sit with him in heavenly places, that we could be adopted in as children of his. And then in chapter 3, we talk about the revealing of the mystery of Christ, or mystery of God, and how that now we know what that mystery is and how that it involved the Gentiles as well. But today, to get into our lesson, I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. If you'll go back to chapter 4 in the book of Genesis, I want to read a few verses there from chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 4 and read down a few verses there in this chapter. Verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I think if you're reading from the ESV, it says that I've acquired a man with the help of the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstling of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, then sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now I want to turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis and read another passage from chapter 11. We'll begin with verse 1 again and read a few verses here from chapter 11, and then we'll go back and comment on this a little bit. It says, now the whole earth was one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make brick and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come and let us make ourselves or build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they have done or begun to do. And he said, come, let us go down and there confuse the languages of that they may not understand one another or one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, we wonder why, maybe, that the Lord did this, but I think as we get into our lesson today, we're going to see a little bit more why that this took place. We'll be turning back to Ephesians now in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. Life in keeping with God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose, if you remember when he spoke to Adam and Eve, he told them to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the whole earth. God intended that man be associated with other people. He didn't want him gathered together in one little spot and staying there. So the Tower of Babel is a good reference to that as far as I'm concerned. God did not want us to maroon ourselves on some island somewhere away from everybody else, where there's no sin, where there's nothing that we have to worry about. God wants his people in among other people so they can be an example for those people to follow. God wants us to teach his word, to be example, to be like him, and to serve him in this way. Well, now we go back to these passages that I read a few moments ago, and you may wonder, why did you read from Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 11? Well, from Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, and the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9, until the present day, we see that brother has risen against brother and nation against nation. The world is marked by dissension and division and strife, where God is a God of love. God wants us to be loved and to love one another. Even in the religious order, the religious world, man has chosen for himself to fight and quarrel instead of showing the love and respect for one another that they should. Sect against sect and church member against church member. God did not will division. That's not what he wanted. If you look throughout the Bible, we see that God wanted us united. And this was the message that was preached by Paul. It was the message that was preached by Jesus Christ, that we're to be one like he and the Father are one. And so God did not will division. He did not cause or promote it at any level. And so this is where God wants us to be in his scheme of things, and we'll see that in this fourth chapter also as we get into it. On the other hand, God designed and executed a plan whereby satisfying unity can be established, and through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we can be united, we can be in peace and not have to be at war with one another. Man must voluntarily accept this plan, though, that God has designed, the plan of unity, or it will not work. God is not going to force it on us. We have to accept it on our own. Many will not accept that plan of God. We've seen that all through the years, that whatever God's plan is, there's some that will accept it and some that will not. And so there are many who will not accept this plan. But this doesn't mean that God's plan is not good. You know, some of the people tried to say when Jesus came into the world to establish his kingdom and the Jews rejected him that it was the wrong time, that this was something that God's plan there was not good. But that's not the case. It's not that God's plan is not good, but many will not accept God's plan because, and this shows their unwillingness to comply with the word and the will of the Almighty God and his wisdom. God is the one that is wise. He knows what is best. He's designed a plan that'll work. We can be united. We can live together in love and peace. We can serve God. We can do the will that he would have us to do. And I think that's the thing that's being pointed out in these verses that we're talking about today. In the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he stressed in the first three chapters the fact that God loves us and wants us to be in peace and harmony with his will. If there's one thing that's stated and one thing we can learn in those first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, I think this is the one thing we can learn, that God loves mankind. He loved mankind enough to give his own son, to sacrifice his own son for mankind that was sinful. And you remember when God looked down upon the earth and he saw that the heart of man was only evil continually? And yet God gave his son for evil men that they might be saved, that they could have the unity that he talks about in his word. God makes all spiritual blessings available to us. Now you notice what I said. He makes all spiritual blessings available to us. Now these blessings are not unconditional. He's not going to bless us unconditional whether we want to or not. It's on a voluntary basis. We must accept this plan of God, or we cannot have the blessings that are there. We must be in Christ Jesus to receive these blessings. And to be in Christ Jesus means that we're a part of his body, we're a part of his kingdom, we're a part of his church. He revealed the mystery of the gospel to us. Now we know from Ephesians chapter 3 that this was not revealed to many people before. There were many people before who desired to know about this mystery, but was not revealed unto them until the time was right. And when the time was right, then God revealed the mystery and began to reveal it by Paul. You remember Paul said that he by revelation received the mystery, and he wrote for in few words, whereby when we read that we may understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He broke down all barriers and made the gospel invitation available to all nations. No longer was it just for the Jews, but it was now for all nations, Jew and Gentile. And as we noticed in our lesson the week before last, he showed this back early in the book of Genesis when he was talking to Abraham. He said that through Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so it shows that he was including the Gentiles into the picture way back then. But now all barriers has been broken down, and there's no doubt that the invitation is available to all nations. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so God made, Jesus made it possible that God the Father is within the reach of all of us through prayer. We can go to him in prayer. We can realize his help. And how many of us is there that we cannot look back and see how prayers have been answered and how that God has blessed us? And so many times we overlook many of the blessings that we receive, the little things that God does for us every day that is just commonplace with us, and we don't even think about that being a blessing from God. If we look back, God blesses us far above that which we even realize, and we need to thank God every day for all the blessings that he blesses us with. The first three chapters were designed to teach us about God and God's great plan for man and his salvation. Now, notice that. They were designed to teach us about God's plan and God's great salvation, the plan of salvation that God had for man. And that's one thing when the mystery was revealed, we see that is true, that this plan of salvation, that God made it possible for everybody. He wanted everybody to be obedient. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The last three chapters teach us that we are to live as Christians. So now notice again, the first three chapters teach us the design of God and the plan that God had for man's salvation. But now the last three then gets into the heart of the matter and teaches us that it's up to us and that we must live this in our lives. That not only are we to know about what God's plan is, but we're to put it to practice in our lives. I am to practice it in my life, and you are to practice it in yours. I cannot practice it for you, nor can you practice it for me. But each one of us individually must practice this Christianity and practice the life that God wants us to, live the life that God wants us to every day of our life. We're required to move on from understanding God's eternal purpose to carrying out the purpose in our lives. I must live as God would have me to live. I must walk as I would have other people walk, as God shows us how to walk in his word. And we'll have more to say about this as we get on down a little bit later when Paul talks about how that he was a prisoner of the Lord. So he says then, in doing this and being the Christian that we ought to be, and showing this in our lives and letting our lives speak for us, that we're to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called, or recognize your vocation, recognize the calling. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. And so this calling is the higher calling, the calling to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The first thing that Paul says in chapter 4 is, I therefore. Now that word therefore shows that there's something that's been said before that needs to be connected, or it is connected, with this chapter 4. So back in chapter 3, and I think that this chapter division is kind of in the wrong place here, I'm going to back up and read a few verses. Let's go back to chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm going to begin reading there and read on down through about the sixth verse of chapter 4. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all ages, all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, I therefore, or therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And you see how much more sense that makes when you go back and pick up there about verse 17 and go right straight on through down to about verse 6 of chapter 4. And so this is what Paul says. That word therefore connects us with these things back here, that Christ dwells in your heart through faith, and the, all these things it talks about in chapter 3 and then the first part of chapter 4. And so we have a responsibility then, and Paul says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, therefore I would, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. So Paul is saying that I am admonishing you, begging you, demanding you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling with which you were called. Paul didn't discuss all spiritual blessings in Christ and God's plan for man's salvation, but in order to have salvation, we must be in Christ. Now, Paul had discussed in verses in chapters 1 through 3 the spiritual blessing, but now he's showing how that we must be in Christ. We must walk according to him. We must be worthy of that calling wherewith we were called, in order to have this blessing that he talks about. Therefore, we must walk worthy of our calling. We must walk worthy of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul referred to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. Now, we want to notice this from about two different angles now. When Paul said this, he was not trying to create sympathy for himself because he was a prisoner. Now we might think, well, he was in prison and so he was feeling sorry for himself. No, that wasn't what Paul was doing. But he was showing his own personal commitment and loyalty to Christ the Lord. Now let's go back and notice what he says here when he talks about being a prisoner. He probably was literally in prison in Rome at the time that this letter was written. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here when he talks about being a prisoner of the Lord. More than this, he was spiritually a servant of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ to do whatever it was that Christ wanted him to do. If you remember how that Paul said that he felt like that he was less than the least of the other apostles, he felt like it was by the grace of God that he was able to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. And so here again now, he's not doing this to show sympathy, but he's showing that I am a child of God. I am a servant of God, and whatever the Lord says to me, that's what I'm going to do. Paul said he gave up everything that he might have the knowledge of the mystery of Christ and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He prayed that doors might be opened unto him, doors of opportunity, that he might preach the gospel in the way that God would have him to. And so he was a prisoner of the Lord, just like you and I. Whenever we obey the gospel of Christ, we make a commitment unto the Lord. We are his prisoner, so to speak. We are his servant. We're there for to do whatever it is that he wants us to do, and we're to serve him in that right way and showing our calling in that way. Walk worthy, he says, of that calling to a higher life, to a higher walk, to a higher way of life, not like the Gentiles did, not like the sinners of the world, but like Jesus Christ and being like him and come to the fullness of him, our perfect man as he is. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And so we have faith in him, we're obedient to him, and we live for him, we do the things that God would have us to do that we might serve him in the right way. The true grace in our heart must show itself by true devotion to the Lord in our life. Now, what is in our heart is shown in our life. And so you can see what's in a man's heart by his actions. And so if we serve God in the way that we should, then we are acting in the way that God would have us to. Now, our action to the calling, and I think this is what we can see in the next few verses here in chapter 4. He says that we are to accept this calling with all lowliness. That word lowliness is to not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. What did Paul say? He said that he was less than the least of all the apostles. So he did not think more of himself than he should. We need to realize that it's by the grace of God, as Paul says, that God has given us opportunity to preach the gospel and to reach the lost, to open doors of opportunity to us that we might be able to teach people that we have not seen before. Now, while I was gone this last week, I was not vacating all the time that I was gone. I was doing some worshiping while I was there, and I was doing some visiting with some people that were weak, people that had lost loved ones and things of this nature. So I attended services on Sunday and Sunday night at Parkway, the congregation I was preaching for before I came here. And then on Wednesday nights, so I went to services at Bible study, one time there at Parkway and one time at Oakland over in Limestone County. So I was associating with other people, other brethren, had to make some changes in my plans because of COVID while I was there. Didn't get to go some of the places that I meant to. But I worked while I was there trying to reach people that were lost, that had not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. And so hoping that God would open doors of opportunity to me. Went and talked to one lady who's not a Christian that I've talked to before. I think she's about ready to obey the gospel. And I talked to another preacher that he could go and just spend some time and encourage her a little bit. And hopefully in the next few days, we're going to hear that she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So while I was gone, I was working too. And I was ready to come back home and get back in the traces here. The next word it uses is meekness. Now, this word meekness is kind of the idea of obedience without irritation or without resentment. Whatever God says for us to do, that we're to do that readily, that we're not to balk on his telling us what to do. It's kind of like we'd say, "Here am I, send me. I'm ready to go. Why not send me to do the job that's there?" And it says that we're to receive it with all long suffering. And what does that mean? Well, not taking swift vengeance or inflicting speedy punishment upon people. Being patient, I guess, is another word we could use there in that idea of long suffering. And then he talks about forbearing one another. Now, that means bearing with one another, giving them time to make correction and to do better. You know, sometimes we talk to people that are not living maybe like they ought to, and it doesn't seem like that there's any progress being made. But we have to give them time to do that, and we have to realize where they're coming from. Baptized a lady back years ago. She was on up, I guess, in her 60s or later. and she had been attending services for a long time, most of her life with her husband. And when she obeyed the gospel, she said, I don't know why I waited as long as I did, except for the fact that I did not grow up in a family that were members of the church. And she said, when you've been taught it one way, it takes a long time to get it out and to see it the right way. And that's what we're talking about. Forbear with people. Give them time to think about these things and to be obedient and to make the corrections in their lives that they need to make. Another word, it says in love. This means voluntary obedience because of love. We obey God because we love Him, because He loved us and the things that He did for us. Then it says give diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. That word diligence means a constant effort, an earnest effort, really trying. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual thing, day by day. You know, the devil is going to tempt us every day of our life. And if he can't get us one way, he'll try to come at us from another side. And so we're to be diligent then to keep the unity of the Spirit. Christians are to make an earnest effort in being united in walking according to God's instructions. Whatever God says, we're to walk according to Him and give an earnest effort to try to walk in that way that has said in His Word. And then it says, in the bond of peace. Live in accord with what God has said in His Word, the teaching of the Spirit, and maintain peace among yourselves. God wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to be like one big family, to love Him as the Father, to love one another as brothers and sisters, and to serve God where the world can see that we have something that they want. And the church will grow whenever we live like we ought to, as God has said. In verses 4 through 6 of this chapter, he teaches unity, and he uses some things here to stress that unity. He says there is one body. Now, do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You say, well, what's that got to do with the body? Well, the body and the church are one and the same thing. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it said God hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when it talks about the one body, it talks about the one church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where God talks about the unity. We're to be one as he and the Son are one. And he said there's one Spirit. There is but one Spirit to give life. Now we know that when the Spirit and the body are separated, then the body dies. And so the Spirit is what gives life. So the one Spirit, and we have that one Spirit to keep us alive and keep us doing what God would have us to do and serving Him in the way that we should. He says, called in one hope of your calling. One calling to follow Jesus Christ, this high calling that we're talking about. And one hope of the home in heaven that we have if we do follow Him in the way that we should. And he said, there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us, arose with supreme authority in heaven and earth, and he said to be Lord of all. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 26, he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And so there's the one Lord that we're talking about, Jesus Christ. Then he says there's one faith. One living faith, one active faith, one faith that works within us, one faith that moves us to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, the true faith of God, not the faith of man, but the faith of God that lives in us and moves in us and causes us to be obedient to his word. And then he says there's one baptism, one burial of him whose heart is purified by faith. If we don't have faith, then we're not a subject for baptism. We must have the faith that God gives unto us. And he said, there's one God and Father of all. The Creator who overrules and rules in the world. You know, we look round about us today and we see that the world is in a mess and we don't know what to do about it and all that. How are we going to do this? Well, we can't, but the Lord knows how to do it. The Lord's in control. I don't know what his plan is, but he knows, and he's in control, and he'll handle it the way that it needs to be handled. in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up where we left off and go through the rest of chapter 4, if I can get all the rest of it in one lesson. And we'll talk about it and then get on with the other chapters that show that the main thing is to put to practice those things that God made aware to us. He revealed the mystery to us. Now, it's no longer a mystery. We know what God wants us to do. We have his word. Now the problem is doing those things that he said. Have the will to do those things that God has told us to do and be living for him in the way that we should. Be an example that will lead others to the Lord. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. If you're here today and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're here to help you to do that very thing. And we would that you would come even this day if you need to be obedient to the gospel, if you have never been baptized, or if you've already been baptized and haven't lived like you should, then come back and make it right. There's too much at stake. Our soul is at stake. God offers us salvation, but we have to accept it. Won't you come while we stand as we sing together?
Great day coming, there's a great day coming and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
Take of the bread and drink the cup this morning of the Lord's Supper. I selected Hallelujah, What a Savior to help prepare us for that this morning.
Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who
Good morning.
Good morning.
As we come together this morning, gathering around this table, I want to talk to you a little bit about a man who lived some 2,700 years ago. It would be this man had a loving father, and this son of that father was very dutiful and faithful to his father. And so his father came to him one day and told him that he needed to go and find himself a wife. But his father warned him, though, that the wife that he was going to be choosing was going to bring trouble and heartache throughout this marriage. So being dutiful and faithful son, the man went and he took a wife, knowing of this woman's, what we would call today, a free lifestyle. Her history of that. Soon afterwards, they had a son together, and he had great joy over the birth of this son, and he had great joy for his wife who bore him this son. But soon after, he began to hear whispers about his wife's conduct, whether she was being true to him, or if she was falling back into her old habits. These whispers continued to grow louder. And he heard about her comings and goings at all hours of the day and the places where she was seen and the company with whom she was keeping. And quite literally, she, along with he, became the talk of the town. In time, his wife gave birth to a daughter, and in fairly short order after that, another son. And oh, how she gave the town plenty to talk about. The birth of these two children, and whether or not they were indeed belonged, sired by the man. The joy over his wife, the joy over her bearing him a son, turned to grief, knowing that these children who were living in his house were not his own. As time went on, her old habits completely took over her life. She ended up moving out of the house, going back to the old neighborhood with her old friends, abandoning him and his son and the other children that were in his house. And she got so deep into these habits and into trouble that she became enslaved herself. And she was sold out to whoever had money to spend for a good time with her. The man's grief kept him up, wondering how she was, wondering about her well-being, whether she was even still alive. Even though his father had warned him about what would come in this marriage, he entered into it with the high hopes that every newlywed has. Those hopes included that she would love him as he had dedicated himself to loving her. Those hopes included that she would be faithful to him even as he dedicated faithfulness to her. And those hopes included that her faith in God would grow and be as much of a help to him in his walk with God, even as he had dedicated himself to God and would do all that was in his power to help her along her walk toward God. There came a day where the man's father came to him again. He said, "I know your wife has left you, has abandoned you, has abandoned these children. I can tell you she is still alive
and where to go find her. I know what she's been doing with her life and with whom she's been doing it. And then the man's father told him something that probably came as quite a shock to him. He said, go to her now. Go to her master and buy her out of this slavery. Being the dutiful and faithful son to his father, the man went. And that is exactly what he did. He went to her master and bought back his own wife and brought her back in the hope that she would finally be faithful and true to him, to his children, and ultimately to God. The man paid for what was already legally his. Using a biblical term, we would say he redeemed her. He paid the redemption price of 15 silver shekels. And if you want to try to equate that to today, that's somewhere in the range of 2 to 4 months' salary. And also 9 bushels of barley. Today we come together as people whom God paid to redeem what was already legally his, for he did create us, each one. He has redeemed us, but he did not buy us from our slaveholder for mere money or food or any other property. He bought us with flesh and blood of his own son. The man's wife did not deserve to be redeemed from the slavery in which she had been, in which she was. Neither did we deserve to be redeemed from our enslavement. But God is merciful God. God is a loving God. And his plan, as Bobby was talking about today, was that Jesus would come and buy us back. Be the price to be paid to buy us back. So that we also, even though we from time to time fall back into our old habits, that we also could be redeemed and that we would ultimately be given a reward of living with him in that day. He loved us so much, he was willing to give up his only son to buy us again out of slavery. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we come before you today, we give thanks to you for your love, your mercy, and your grace that has been revealed to us through history, through the life of your Son Jesus, who offered up his life to buy us back out of the slavery in which we find ourselves. We thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed, for the body that was broken, and we take of this bread now, representing his body that was beaten and broken for us, that we can have that hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. would you bow with me? Lord, as we come before you this morning, thanking you for the sacrifice of your Son, that he would be willing to shed his life for us, give his blood that we may be redeemed to you. We ask that you would allow us to partake of it in a manner well-pleasing in your sight. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes the Lord's Supper, and as a matter of convenience, we take this time and opportunity to take up the offering as a collection to continue the work of this church as it meets here in East Alton. If you prefer, the box out on the wall on to the right as you go out the foyer, you can also drop your offering in there. We, in a moment, after we pray, we'll be going around to take up this collection. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you for the great blessings of that you have provided to us, the physical blessings in this nation. We pray, Father, we thank you, Father, so much for the spiritual blessings that you shower down, rain down upon us, Father, through Jesus, your Son, and the life he gave for us to lead it, to lead. We pray, Father, that as we go through our lives, our daily lives, as we seek out your plan that you have revealed for us, we pray that we look at these physical things that have been provided to us, and know that all these things come from you, that without you there is no hope, and that through you we can have that hope of living eternally. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gives me.
once again, I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning. It's always a joy to be here, especially in the times we're in, and wish folks out there worshiping with us as well. I hope you have a good rest of the day and everyone be safe out there. Quick announcement before we're led with our closing song and then our closing prayer. I've let a few members here know kind of what lies ahead in the not-so-distant future for the Carmen family. So as it comes, I believe this April, actually, we will be departing from here and heading down to a little bit warmer weather than what we've been accustomed to the past, I guess it'd be 6 years in March we've been here. So we will be heading down to Warner Robins, Georgia, which is in the middle, central Georgia, I believe it is. So we're going down to Robins Air Force Base. Professionally, I always joke I kind of overstayed my welcome, but what a joy it's been to be here with everyone, to worship with you. Get a little emotional, but it'll be okay. We still have some time left, so especially those who are remote, hope we get to, hopefully sometime soon, get to see you, visit with you. And speaking of time, I think I'm at the beginning phase of life where it just doesn't slow down. Have no control of it, and it's our most precious resource that we have. And I selected In His Time for our closing song. We're going to sing both verses, but like I said, we have no control of it, and it's our most precious resource, and we know that all things happen in His time. So we'll be led. I'll sing this closing song, and then we'll be led with our closing prayer.
In His time. Individuals, Father, we know that your church is composed of individuals
make group of people that are bonded together here. And equally so, Father, we pray that you would help each of us to measure up to our responsibility and do the very best that we can. In the world, Father, you've taught us that we should serve our masters well, that we should be diligent and do the equal effort and for whatever pay that we might receive. But we have a responsibility as Christians to live the right and be the right example for those that might be watching who do not even know. So as we get ready to leave here, we ask that you would give us the strength and the courage. Help us always to be appreciative of what you have given us in Christ. And we pray in his name that you would help us each day. Amen.
Amen.